This is number 4. We are discussing at this point in our study a section which we have entitled Practical Leadership. We come to principle number 11. Principle number 11 would state this: the leader will honor confidential information, observe discretion, reserve knowledge. Watch yourself, lest you be indiscreet and betray some vital information. This matter of confidentiality is certainly a two-way street. First, you will have access to proprietary information that is not for public consumption. It is your responsibility to keep this material private. You will also probably be involved in counseling situations with team members. When they share with you, and what they share with you must go no further. If this information is shared in any way, they will lose complete respect for you as a leader. Discretion is learning how to respond to difficult situations with wisdom and character. It means knowing what is appropriate and what is inappropriate, and seeing the consequences of words and actions further down the road. Principle number 12. The effective leader will work with diligence, determination, and complete the task of the organization. The key word of this statement is work. Leadership is a function, not a form. It is activity, not just articulation. It is effort, not just holding an office. This is a vital part of leadership, especially when we understand that leadership is basically influence. If our people see us in the work and not just over the work, they will be influenced to be in the work also. The leader is to be out front leading the way. His attitude is, follow me. He is a leader, not a pusher. This means that he must work. Determination means learning to give whatever energy is necessary to complete a project. It also means learning to reduce a seemingly impossible task to achievable goals. How would you answer the following evaluative questions? Does your work contain projects that you have started and have not yet finished? Number 2, do you allow distractions to hinder you in completing an assigned task? Number 3, have you ever made a promise that you've not fulfilled? Number 4, have you ever quit a job or a sports event because you thought you would not succeed? The effective leader will work with diligence to finish the task at hand. Principle 13. The wise leader will seek to build unity within his organization. The unifying leader seeks to bring together the personnel and strengths of the organization. This helps all to stand even in the difficult times. The value of a unified team cannot be overstated. Principle number 14. The effective leader understands the importance and the necessity of correct confrontation. Confrontation is difficult, but confrontation is necessary for the betterment of the person and the organization. Research has shown that a leader can take one of several approaches when a problem occurs. Number 1, the leader can ignore the problem. This is the head in the sand approach. The hope is that it will go away. Now, usually this, of course, will not be the case. A problem not dealt with normally becomes bigger with time. It's probably better to deal with a problem rather than a crisis. A problem not solved will become a crisis. Then a second approach, the leader can have a winner-take-all approach. In this response, there's only a winner and a loser. There's no middle ground. One leaves with a smile and the other leaves with a frown. It has been said that if both parties leave your office with some victory and some defeat, then you probably made the correct decision. Then a third approach, some leaders have a give-in attitude. I will just give them what they want and get this thing over with as soon as possible. But is that the right approach for the organization, and is that the right approach for the person? What has really been achieved if the leader uses this tactic? But another approach is the I'll go halfway if you go halfway attitude. At times this may be the best solution, but not always. It may very well be that more than a compromise is needed. And then a fifth attitude. The leader should confront the problem and stay with it until a solution is found. Therefore, confrontation is to help your people in your organization to reach their full potential. This should be a positive experience for the benefit of your team. You're not doing this to embarrass. You're not doing this to tear down. You're not doing this to humiliate, but you're doing this to build up. The leader should seek to create an environment where confrontation is expected. Create a climate conducive to healthy confrontation. We find really there are two basic approaches that an effective leader would use in confrontation. One approach is referred to as affirmative evaluation. Affirmative evaluation is the continual day-by-day evaluation and sharing of insights, ideas, and information. This keeps situations and needs current rather than dealing with a list every 6 months or every year, a formative evaluation. Then there's what is called summative evaluation. Summative evaluation is the semi-annual or annual employee evaluation meeting. This is a good practice when used in conjunction with a formative evaluation. In this way, you can have the best of both worlds. You're keeping current, and at the same time, there are a couple of goal areas for which the worker is striving. You see, failure to confront produces negative results for the organization and the individuals within the organization. Use the confrontation process effectively for the building up of individuals and the building up of the organization. Principle 15. The effective leader will seek to become a student of human nature and will use that understanding in hiring and dealing with people. Careful selection of the right person for the organization is absolutely essential. The leader will then invest time in these right people chosen to be team members. Principle number 16. The wise leader can not only give commands, but he can also receive commands. One of our major American companies has an interesting procedure for all the new leaders which are hired. That person begins on the assembly line. He may have an MBA, but he begins on the assembly line. He is there to know by experience what it means to work for that corporation. It's one thing to know theory, quite another thing to put theory into practice. That leader will learn what it means to take orders before he is given the opportunity to give orders. The wise leader can not only give commands, but he can also receive commands.